May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 391. Jesus, friend of sinners, hear a feeble creature pray. From my debt of sin set clear, for I have naught to pay. Speak, O speak, my kind release, a poor backsliding soul restore. Love me freely, seal my peace, and let me rove no more. Hymn 391.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Word of God in the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 59, the 59th chapter of the prophecy given to Isaiah. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear, that your iniquities are separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calleth for justice, nor any pleadeth for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and bring forth iniquity. They hatch cockatrice or adder's eggs, and weave the spider's web. He that eateth of their eggs dieth. That which is crushed breaketh out into a viper. Their webs shall not become garments, neither shall they cover themselves with their works. Their works are works of iniquity. The act of violence is in their hands. Their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed innocent blood. Their thoughts are thoughts of iniquity. Wasting and destruction are in their paths. The way of peace they know not. There is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Therefore is judgment far from us, neither doth justice overtake us. We wait for light, but behold obscurity. For brightness, but we walk in darkness. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday as in the night. We are in desolate places as dead men. We roar all like bears, and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us. As for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth. He that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment. He saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor, Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness, it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head. And he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies. To the islands he will repay recompense. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up the standard against him. When the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and for ever. Amen. Most holy, gracious Lord, we do see faith in our hearts, God given. Oh, grant to us living faith. May we approach unto thee by faith in Jesus' name. But Lord, we are debtors unto thee. Grant to us faith as thy grace to us in thy mercy. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt gather us together, not only at this very time, but it's in our short lives, if not a Sabbath, call our own. Lord, we have nothing that we can count on as being our portion for tomorrow, but we desire to come upon thy mercy. And Lord, to meet with us in our lives at this hour, on thy day. And Lord, we have many sins and transgressions. Lord, do come, leave us not. Grant, O Lord, that forgiveness which is with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Leave us not to the blindness of our hearts, or the hardness and the unconcern we feel. Mourn over, Lord, it is our grief. Oh, that we seem so far off. Lord, we plead that precious blood that brings nigh, pardons sins, raises the dead, and brings us, oh, even unto the person of the Lord Jesus. We pray that thou wilt meet with us in our souls and in our circumstances too. Pray, Lord, that it may be a time when the Lord may draw near. We need his Spirit. Grant, O Lord, those soul refreshing views of Jesus and his word. Grant to us the Spirit of God. Leave us not. And oh, we mourn our unbelief. pray, Lord, that thou wouldst cleanse us thoroughly. Oh, how it fills our hearts. We would not have it so. Help thou mine unbelief. Lord, we come not as those that are better than the world, but worse. We know the Saviour's love. Oh, the depths of our transgressions. Lord, have mercy, we pray. We seek, Lord, that thou pardon sins against thy light, thy love, thy blood. Oh, we to say, can ever God dwell here. And yet, Lord, thou dost bring us once more with those great sirs we would see Jesus. Pray, Lord, that thou wouldst remember us as we seek for the best preacher. That thou, Lord, wilt come and proclaim thy sweet truth. By that man, never man spake like this man we read. And oh, we pray, Lord, that thou wilt also open our hearts. Lord, that thou wilt do what we cannot do. And then, Lord, may there be some fruit. Lord, to the glory of thy grace. Lord, to the acknowledging of thy mercy. Remember this house of prayer. How long have we come amongst them? We thank thee, Lord, for the union. We thank thee, Lord, for the spirit of hearing. And we desire, Lord, nothing but Zion's true good, real prosperity, where Jesus reigns alone. And we pray for seekers. Lord, thou hast a people, and they are called seekers. Seek, thou hast said, not. The seed of Jacob seek ye, my face in vain. Lord, remember those that are heavy laden. Grant the burden bearer. Lord, remember those that may be cast down. May they be lifted up. And Lord, that may be oppressed. Grant Hezekiah's God, I have added unto thy days 15 years. Lord, in truth of the gospel, grant that enlargement, that increase. Pray, Lord, that thou bless the Sabbath school and our own children. Again we pray, Lord, that thou bless the young. We bring them unto thee. Watch over them. Keep and preserve them. The wall of fire round about them. Glory in the midst. But Lord, as they grow, keep them. Lord, may they be amongst those that constrain like Samuel, or sweetly bless like Hannah, and others too, that, like Ruth, that clave the truth. We pray that thou remember those that have gone astray. Be mindful of them. Lord, thou art able to do exceeding abundantly. Bring back those that have gone astray. Lord, we desire to thank thee that thou art able, for thou hast brought us hitherto. There is hope for any. But O Lord, to grant thy mercy. There be those in want, those, Lord, that are seeking their way to Zion, their faces thitherward, perhaps with a humble desire. Lord, that I know not, teach thou me. Lord, to bless the church, watch over, keep and preserve and bless the church of God and the people. We pray, Lord, that there may be those sweet encouragements, return unto Zion. My Lord, it will be with a purging. My Lord, do not leave us. We pray to our, as our sins deserve, but purge away iniquity, but bring us nigh by precious faith. Lord, remember those that carry burdens every day. Those burdens increase. Those, Lord, that maybe, like those we read of, stagger the drunken man and are at their wit's end, that cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Lord, remember any affliction, be with them. For those, Lord, that we pray for, that thou'lt keep them. We think of our older friends. Lord, remember them. Do draw near and bless them indeed. We lovingly bear them up before thee. Pray, Lord, for those that are dying, known to us. Lord, to be with them and grant dying grace, how needful. Lord, we pray that thou'lt turn again unto the churches. Wilt thou not revive us again? Oh, could it please thee, Lord, the desire of our heart, that thou'lt return, blessed Spirit of Truth, and there will be those sweet trophies. Be those that from afar, those that know thee not, that are brought in. Those, Lord, that are sinners found. Those, Lord, that are the sweet subjects of thy rich grace. Lord, do grant those evidences that thy Spirit remaineth among us. That we pray for our nation. Lord, in many, many things we feel the burden, we would pray for thy appearing. Remember our land, have mercy. Oh, the grief really that we have, that seems to be no acknowledgement in high places. And we get further into debt and oh, further away from God in our land, have mercy. Remember us still. Lord, do stem the tide of iniquity and touch sinners' hearts. Lord, who hear prayer for our land, we pray thy mercy may be toward us. Thou'lt appear, Lord, we seek. Maybe those times when there may be that rejoicing, Lord, even in the churches, Lord, that thou art still with us. It's the church of God in the land. We pray may flourish and bear fruit. We seek, Lord, for those in other countries. Lord, do have mercy upon our fellow creatures. Lord, remember those that are in other lands. Have mercy, may thy kingdom come. That now, Lord, do remember us as we seek to humble ourselves, to fall at thy feet. Pray, Lord, that there may be something for us this evening in the prayer and the vestry. Grant, Lord, a token for good, something from heaven, something this world cannot afford. A little sweetness, balm of Gilead. Lord, a little sweet looking into that law of liberty. Lord, do grant enlargement too. Leave us not. We pray that thou wilt come. Remember those, Lord, that carry burdens known to thee. Grant them their heart's desire. And Lord, we desire to thank thee. We're yet on praying ground. Lord, we have not been left, but oh, we need thee. God, be merciful. We pray to thee, a sinner. And O Lord, remember each cause represented where thy name is faithfully recorded. We desire to bless thee. And we do desire, Lord, to fall at thy feet. Lord, to grant thee application. Thy precious blood. Oh, to cleanse, heal, restore. To bring us nigh. To do us good. Lord, to cleanse us thoroughly. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt remember us as we call upon thee. And seek, Lord, for thy mercy. That thou wilt be mindful of us. We pray that Jesus himself drew near. Well, may it be so. The season will be sweet if Jesus be but there. It is our Lord to seek for that needful help and that double portion of thy spirit, we ask, in that worthy prevailing name of Jesus. For his sake we ask. Amen.
Hymn 746. Jesus is our God and Saviour, guide and counsellor and friend, bearing all our misbehaviour, kind and loving to the end. Trust him, he will not deceive us, though we hardly of him deem. He will never, never leave us, nor will let us quite leave him. Hymn 746.
As the Lord may help me, I will turn with you to the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 59. We read from the 19th into the 20th verses. Isaiah chapter 59, when the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, or by the God of Jacob, saith the Lord. You feel some direction to this chapter, to this verse. It speaks so much of the sweet Spirit of God, Spirit of the Lord. It is only how there can be any prophets, liberty, or real understanding of the truths in our text. Very briefly, we notice the setting of our text. The prophet speaks unto the people in their solemn state of sin and ruin. Speaks very much of the sad state of the land, the present circumstances, and the way in which God is pleased to make known through the prophet those deep transgressions in the way of deliverance. We do not seek to dwell there. Desire by the help of God to speak from the text concerning the word of truth in the gospel. Those that the Lord speaks of as belonging unto Zion, although in captivity, although feeling that they have sinned, fallen under the truth that their iniquities have separated between you and your God, we read, feeling something, the need of the Lord to have mercy, to return, to remember them, those that we may say belong to the household of faith, that are found perhaps especially mourning, feeling the need of the Lord to swiftly return. We read this deep complaint. We grope for the wall like the blind. We grope as if we had no eyes. We stumble at noonday. As in the night, we are in desolate places. As dead men, we roar like bears, mourn sore like doves. This belongs to the Israel of God. Those the Lord will bring to a knowledge of sin and a confession of it too, feelingly, not covering themselves with a cloak of deceit. They are brought to hear the word and to fall under it. And then we read further in this chapter those things which belong to the church of God, their great need personally, although they may see many things around them too. Truth faileth, he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. Let a man turn from his sin and his ways, he will soon be the laughing stock. He will soon be thought peculiar, or to be there are many expressions the world uses that we shall not use. Those that may have those things to walk in for the truth, or seeking for it, there will that there will be those things which are ten, even the hearing of God's word, where there is that desire to know the truth. We read all these things and more concerning the low state of the land, more of the church of God, the deep complaints that belong to the hearts of God's dear people, feeling to be the very low place. Need the Lord to return now, friends. In the prophecy of Isaiah, there's so much. Setting forth the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And we speak not as if it were an easy thing to believe, but rather the word in the prophecy speaks of something very, very precious, near to my heart, really. And he saw that there was no man. None. We read the Most High. He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm, not shortened, is it? That it cannot save. Nor his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. There was no man but this mighty one. To know how the Lord sets it forth in the truth of the gospel, those things which belong to him and him alone. Those truths that were made known in the gospel to those that are brought to turn to the Lord by his grace. You know, it's experimental, isn't it? And he saw that there was no man. That's where the Lord brings his people. Him writer sums it up. No help in self I find, and yet have sought it well. The native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. Oh, to feel just a little of it. Oh, it is such a great matter, isn't it? To do business in those great waters. Oh, the great need of the Lord to return. He saw that there was no man. I wonder that there was no intercessor. For his arm brought salvation unto him, his righteousness, it sustained him. The very person, the Lord Jesus. Ah, friends, do we need such a one? I mean, to our souls, maybe our circumstances. But I think of the need of poor Zion, brought, as it were, to the place where they wonder if there is anyone. Wonder indeed if the Lord can have mercy upon them. Can ever God dwell here? It brings us nearer to our text. Here we have that mighty one. But in on that righteousness, I want to speak of it. How it is so. Putting on such a breastplate. The captain of our salvation, helmet, we made of salvation upon his head. He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing. He was clad with zeal as a cloak. And thus the Lord will defend his church and his people. He'll be their deliverer. The Lord will surely recompense to them the fury of their adversaries. To the islands he will repay recompense. That's a word the Lord speaks in his word. To the islands means his church, his people. And we come to the word here. So shall they fear the name of the Lord. When the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression. In Jacob, that is, by the God of Jacob, saith the Lord. So I want to speak experimentally, as the Lord may help me. Now what lays upon my mind so much is this. The Lord speaks, the enemy coming in like a flood. Maybe a few things we can speak of that, but this is how it strikes my mind. This wonderful ministry setting forth of the Spirit of the living God. How needful. Poor Zion. When I think of it in the doctrine. You know, doctrine's sweet, isn't it? When there's so much of Christ in it and his sweet Spirit. Now this word here speaks of that glorious third person of the Trinity in his sacred office from all eternity. When we read in the New Testament that the Spirit had not been given, it means poured out. There never was a time when there was any lack in that sacred Trinity. Oh, the glorious truth of it concerning Zion. That the Spirit of living God, that too, thus, in the truth of God's word, to find out this glorious man. We read of it in, I turned it down, in Psalm 89. So much of the sweet Spirit of God in that psalm, and the way in which the Spirit of God reveals this glorious one, the intercessor, the only one who can do helpless sinners good. And you know, it is a sacred, glorious office of the Spirit of God, I stand upon it, to prepare a body in which the dear Redeemer should dwell. According to the need, the Spirit of God views, and has done, that in the counsels of eternity, that thus God should dwell with man. Before sin entered into the world, man fell. Well, friends, what a truth there is, a sweetness, isn't there, in doctrine, when we might be able to see a little of that wondrous work and witness and setting forth the Holy Spirit, living God. In that psalm we refer to, it speaks so much of that glorious office of the Holy Spirit of God in our text. Let me direct you to that psalm for a moment. The enemy shall not exact upon him, nor the son, the wickedness afflict him. The Spirit of God reveals the glorious person, the dear Redeemer, and I will beat down his foes before his face. We need it, don't we? The Lord to grant those trophies of his sweet grace. The Spirit of God to move upon the face of the waters. Another glorious aspect of that work and witness and truth, the Spirit of God revealed in our text. That my faithfulness and my mercy shall be with him. And my name shall his horn be exalted. And in his, my name shall his horn be exalted. I will set his hands also in the sea, the right hand in the rivers. Now, we speak in the Trinity But there is something very sweet, isn't there, about that ministry and sweet knowledge of the work and witness of the Spirit of God in finding this David, who is none other than the Lord Jesus. David's greatest son. I have found David my servant. I stand upon it. It seems to direct my thoughts to that sweet and glorious work and witness of the Spirit of God before the Most High, we may say, in the Trinity of Persons, that thus God should dwell with man. And now the Spirit of God anointed him. It was him, wasn't it? Thus he was anointed. Who was? Everlasting. We speak so much in that 89th Psalm of his seed too. If his children forsake my law, thus he will visit their transgression with a rod, and their iniquity with stripes nevertheless, my loving kindness. Will I not utterly take from him? I want to pass on. My desire this evening is to speak of this truth in the text as the Spirit of the Lord lifts up at a standard against the enemy. And the enemy shall come in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord lift up a standard. Again, in true doctrine, we turn down that hymn. When Adam by transgression fell unconscious, fled his Maker's face. Linked in clandestine league with hell, he ruined all his future ways. Now this is it. The seeds of evil once brought in increased and filled the world with sin. As soon as sin entered the world, there was a flood, wasn't there? We might trace it very clearly. And thus, it needs the Lord to remember his dear people because of the greatness of their sin and iniquity. Oh, that solemn evidence of man's total defilement being removed from that standing before God and now rendered lost, ruined. And so there will be a flood, especially experimentally known and felt in the hearts of God's dear people, for the great flood of iniquity, sin so great, and oh, how it fills every nook and cranny, we might say, of our hearts, how defiled, nowhere to stand upon at all. To be to that great flood or the curse that it has brought in to affect God's people so deeply. So doctrinally we notice also that great flood has entered into the world, only the Spirit of the Lord lift up such a standard. We read, do we not? I must quickly come. That when the floods recede, the Lord smelled a sweet savour. Oh, what a truth that is, that only he can heal the balm, heal the wounds of sin, and restore and bless the dear Zion, the people of God, with peace. And remove it of their great transgression. Oh, to feel something of it will lay us very low. Then there is the enemy. The great enemy of God. The enemy of the church. Oh, how he came in, didn't he? After the fall. We read so many things. I want to swiftly come, experimentally. And the enemy shall come in like a flood. Very expressive, isn't it? When I was a lad, my father had something to do with somebody living in London. And there was a particular problem. She lived in a house, but I don't know how it was, but everything looked well on the outside, but there was a flood inside. It may have been concerning the winter time, but friends, the flood, it was unperceived until this woman came home. And it was such a flood that filled the house. Remember it as a boy. Now it speaks here of the enemy coming in like a flood. And so I think of it like this. Not only do we think of the flood that may come, we read much about it, don't we, today. About those floods that are just because of a little, they increase and increase and increase. And soon there's a flood. Soon it seems to fill everywhere. Now the word in the text speaks of the enemy, the great enemy. The enemy, the church of the living God. To remove God's church, could it be so? From the covenant head of grace. Or to overflow the world and those that live there on, but for that sweet archetype of Christ, wasn't it? And the Lord shut them in. And the enemy came in like a flood. We may think in a spiritual way when the Lord puts his people in safety, though there may be such a flood, and they may be brought to that place where it seems as if they shall surely die. Oh, that flood of iniquity, the flood of our transgressions, we need to be taught, don't we, the truth of it. It pervades, doesn't it? Everywhere. Look back, there it is. Look round about you. Oh, you may feel the increase of that flood. That's many sweet hymns about it. The flood increases fast. For those that know the Lord know the flood, don't they? The great power of the enemy coming in like a flood. Of course it speaks, doesn't it, of that great work and witness of the enemy against the Spirit of God himself. And the enemy shall come in like a flood. Experimentally, the Lord's people know the enemy, and they know the floods. Oh, that time when he brings those dreadful temptations. And it seems as if they cannot stand another hour. Ready to give up. Go back. When the enemy comes on it all. Says, where is now your God? Where is the Lord? Oh, and so we've tried to speak today of another low place. The words of the Lord. As Zion said, the Lord hath forsaken me. My Lord hath forgotten me. My Lord. A little speck of living faith, isn't it? My Lord hath forgotten me. Deep complaint. Oh, how solemnly the Lord's people have to do business in these great waters. The enemy shall come in like a flood. And then you know we cannot stand against this great enemy. It's a very solemn thing if we've got so much faith that we'll never be brought low, that we are altogether right, and therefore we shall get to heaven so easily. Friends, there are many things that come against the living soul. Many things that come, and God sees it all. And yet, in the word of our text is something very precious. I mean, to God's tried, living, God-fearing, humble, living souls that fall under His word, His truth, when the enemy, coming like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord, sweet Spirit, moved upon the face of the waters, as I have said, but the sacred work and witness, the very work of the Spirit of the Lord. We need it, don't we? I mean those that truly fear the Lord. When the Spirit, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. Very beautiful part of God's word, isn't it? It doesn't say the best minister or the believer, but the Lord lift up a standard. Now, what is a standard? Well, it is really to be spoken of as a banner or that which is lifted up. It certainly doesn't mean the spirit of the world, and neither, very carefully, does it mean that this standard is anything other than the Lord Himself. We want to get things very clear. Not a standard of experience. As much as we align ourselves by God's grace to the societies in which we believe God has granted His truth. You know, there's no resting place there, is there, for salvation, but only in God Himself. Now this banner, the sweet truth of it, is lifted up. Where is it lifted up? Well, it's lifted up in the gospel. Lifted up as the Lord lifts it up. The Spirit of the living God lifts it up, friends. Oh, just what a poor, helpless sinner needs, that the Lord, the Spirit, to grant that lifting up of such a glorious standard. That really it is that banner, or the very truth as it is, in Jesus. And it's lifted up. Well, now we need it lifted up in our own hearts, don't we? But I mean those that seek the Lord. The beautiful word, isn't there, in the gospel? John, very well known words. The third chapter of John. It's the banner lifted up, isn't it? Really, the truth, is it, is in Jesus, revealed, made known by the blessed Spirit of living God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten, not created, Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. The man of God preached from that text, I believe it was in this pulpit. Friends, it flowed into my heart many years ago. God so loved the world. Oh, it is that sweet truth as the Spirit brings it right up into the hearts of his people. And even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. That's the standard in our text. Sweet truth, isn't it? I mean, when the Lord lifts up that standard in a poor sinner's heart. Oh, it is above the flood of iniquity, isn't it? Of transgressions, of sin. Oh, let the Lord lift up that standard. Oh, it's looking up unto it, isn't it? Not works, nor deeds, but look. Look unto me, and be saved, or ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Oh, we need the Spirit of God to lift it up. This standard, this sweet truth in our hearts. Then I think again of the word in our text, when, just when, the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit, the Lord shall lift up the standard against him. I want to speak of it in another way. It is when the Spirit of God delivers God's people and directs them, even unto the very person of the Redeemer. The Redeemer that shall come to Zion. It was by ancient prophecy, wasn't it? Surely fulfilled. But there were many years. But thus there is a sweet promise. You know the standard that in our text really speaks of that time when the Lord will surely come. And we need it, don't we? Those that wait upon the Lord for that time of love, the time when the Lord will come and grant little of that sweet deliverance from the enemy. The last week or two, the enemy has been so strong. Oh, we have staggered. The great work of the enemy, you know, is to take a poor sinner from his standing, to flow over all his evidences, to render him as lost and ruined, unjustly, that might we feel it to be the case with us that we have sinned against the Lord. I want to come very quickly. What this Spirit and this standard really sets forth in the Gospel, the Redeemer shall come to Zion. It's a wonderful part, God's Word. I was reminded of it, I think it was in the night, or at some point perhaps in the morning. The sweet words of the Lord. It's in Exodus, in Hebrews, to hasten. You read in the 19th chapter of Exodus, a few verses concerning the Mount, not Mount Zion, but Mount Sinai. That place where there is nothing but condemnation, when the devil himself may say thus, there is no help for you in God. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And so on. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder, and what about your conscience before God? Oh, how great the need for the Lord to appear. Transgressions and iniquities testifying against us. You know, and faith can look to Sinai. Fills the soul with dread, doesn't it? Not any help there, is there, for a living soul? And the enemy will seek to keep seeking seed of Jacob at that mount. Keep them in despair. Oh, we need, do we not? The Spirit of the Lord. There's a sweet part, isn't there, that follows in the Epistle to the Hebrews. We read that truth. You're not come unto the mount that might be touched. And that's where I want to come very quickly. God brings his people there. It's on the standard. That is, on the banner. The Lord will bring his people, even unto himself. It's contained in the spirit of the gospel. Let me direct you to it for a moment. The Lord brings his people, but not to that mount where there is despair. The Spirit of God leads, doesn't he? Direct. Lifts up in the hearts of his people that cry, if so be there may be hope. And the Lord delivers from that great power of the adversary where there is nothing but despair. Under the law, for the dominion of sin and the place where it will leave us. The Lord directs his people, doesn't he? For that lovely Mount Zion. You know, some have got a religion without any knowledge of sin or the law of God. So they're always on the mountaintop. Well, the church of God, according to the word of the Lord, are delivered from that mount. Well, they hope to be better. If they can say a few more prayers, I've laboured in it. If only they could find a repenting heart. If only they could perhaps promise to be better and get up on a new day and they'll be better today and soon. They're in the mire. The enemy comes in, accuses them, lays them low, doesn't he? Oh, how soon they seem to be at their wits' end. Then the Lord may bring them perhaps into his house. And this sweet banner of the law of life, liberty, is lifted up in their conscience. Really it is nothing less, is it, than that truth as it is in Jesus, our great high priest. Now he brings the blood of atonement. That's from Mount Zion, isn't it? Where the Lord suffered, bled and died. And delivered his people from going down to the pit, we read, for I've found a ransom. That's the work and witness, the Spirit of God. You know, the Lord sometimes brings his people up from the depths of the earth. You know, it is sweet truth, isn't it, regarding the Lord Jesus and his precious blood, the atonement. If we are not come unto the mount that might be touched, the Spirit of God doesn't bring there, delivers. It may bring you there so far and to feel your great need. But he says, you're not come unto the mount that might be touched. This is not your rest. You are come not to the mount that might be touched and that burneth fire, unto blackness and darkness. Perhaps some of you know what it is. Blackness and darkness. And the souls of his dear people. Oh, how they wonder if ever God can deliver them. But he brings them on, doesn't he? Lifts up this sweet standard. My grace is sufficient for thee. No, he directs living faith. It's a lovely Mount Zion. Oh, it is where the Lord Jesus is sweetly lifted up, isn't he? Upon that cross of Calvary. Oh, that's what we need, isn't it? Be lifted up for sin, iniquity. But to be lifted up in our hearts. Or to set poor prisoners free. And to bring them by way that they know not. Paths they have not known. Ye are not come unto that mount that might be touched and that burns with fire unto blackness and darkness and tempest. No. The sound of a trumpet, the voice of words, but you come. There's so many things on that banner in the gospel. Oh, that the Lord might sweetly deliver his dear people. You come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Oh, that are his servants, lest one should perish. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Well, wonderful truths, but there's something greater. And to Jesus. Sum and substance of the gospel. The mediator of the new covenant. And to the blood. That's it, isn't it? The blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Oh, there are many, many sweet truths that can only be hinted at. I must swiftly come to the closing thoughts. The Lord will bring his people unto Christ. There is all their salvation, all their desire. You know, the Lord sets his people, he sets them down on that ground of mercy. They cannot trust in their own righteousness, which are as filthy rags. They fall under his word and truth. Whatever it costs, they will surely fall humbly at his feet, and the standard is lifted up, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion. Well, it was so literally, but friends, in the gospel, it speaks of his coming and coming to his dear people. The Redeemer shall come to Zion unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob. Well, that same dear man that came will come to his dear people, each one, and they turn from transgression in Jacob alone. By Jacob's God, they've got no other. We need the Lord from first to last. I said this afternoon that we do not entertain duty faith, that what we do believe in is that sweet work of faith and the duty of it, as God is the author of it, it goes out after him, doesn't it? Follows the Lamb with us where he goeth, falls under his word and truth, submits to his righteous laws, doesn't rebel. Oh, it's that sweet work and witness we need, don't we? We need it in Zion. That when the Lord is all, man is nothing. Christ all in all. Oh, there's a sweet word, living faith. You know, that truth really is this, that faith is an active grace. You know, it goes out unto him, doesn't it? That the Lord appear, oh, it hastens, doesn't it? Unto him, knows his voice, follows him, may it be so. When he's lifted up, may there be a following. If you love me, keep my commands. The sweet duty of faith, really, it is a labour of love, isn't it? It's all in Christ. May the Lord grant it. But it's Jesus only. We read, lastly on this leaving, one very solemn part of God's word. We read of the enemy coming in like a flood. The Lord speaks of it himself. With the field. And it was said, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Whence then? As it tears. You said, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? And he said, nay, lest while you gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let's leave a few things this evening. The Lord grant sweet revival and bless his church. Forgive all amiss. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day were £800, for which we are very thankful. God willing, there'll be our Thanksgiving service on Saturday at 3 o'clock and 6:15. Tea will be provided and collections taken for the Gadsby Christmas Fund. God willing, Mr. Gerald Pluss will preach then and next Lord's Day, and hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 759. Jesus heals the brokenhearted. Oh, how sweet that sound to me. Once beneath my sin he smarted, groaned and bled to set me free. Hymn 759.
may the grace of the Lord Jesus, love of God the Father, the communion, the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with you all. Amen.